Blog Talk Radio.
Good day, everybody. Welcome back to the first show of Can We Talk for 2022. I am your host, Raz Williams. I want to truly thank you for joining us today. We're really glad you're here because the podcast is designed for you, where we talk about absolutely everything that you may have always wanted to know, but from a godly perspective. For those of us who've been to church or read the Bible, we've all heard of the kingdom of God. From my own personal experience, hearing about the kingdom of God had no real significance. It seemed a far-off fantasy, an unreal fable that I read in the scriptures. But as I grew in my relationship with God, and as I matured, I knew that there was a hidden, powerful reality, and that I was connected to this reality. But sad to say, it was still far off. It was like a thought. It was hidden from me pretty much. I mean, it's in plain sight, but it was hidden from me. I mean, it was unattainable. It was foreign to me. I didn't concept. You know, when I really look back at my experience in the church, my experience with being under different ministries, nobody really truly took the time to explain it to me. I mean, I've done my own research, of course, but, the leadership really never took their time to really truly explain what the kingdom of God is really truly about. And so I did my own research, I did some research. I looked on Google. I looked at certain books, and really try to make an effort to truly get a true sense of what the kingdom is all about. And as I started doing my research, I became more and more curious and started doing a lot of reading and wondered, if the kingdom is this powerful, where are we going wrong today? Like, how comes no one is truly operating and doing the mighty things Jesus described in the Bible? And, how does this, supposed superior kingdom assist us, especially in this current crazy world we live in today? So I needed to know those kind of answers. I the kind of person that I am, I have to understand how things work. Why do they work? Why do they come to be? And I need to know about the kingdom. How can it personally help me? How do I operate in this reality? And how can it help me enhance my relationship with God and with people? So I've always felt like, I'm tight with my Heavenly Father. However, there's something I noticed was missing. I wasn't getting the true essence of my Father's kingdom. And so this is one of the reasons why I did today's show, and I titled it The True Reality of God's Kingdom. So guys, if you have a question or comment, the number to call is 563-999-3600. 563-999-3569. That number again is 563-999-3569. Or you can listen live on online at blogtalkradio.com/RazWill. That's blogtalkradio.com/RazWill. Today I have a special guest on tonight, all the way from the other side of the world, from Western Australia. He goes by the name of Ken Tiwano. You know, I first heard Ken on another platform breaking down the kingdom and all of its intricacies, and I was like, man, I need to speak to him. I need to get this guy on my podcast so that he can really help explain this reality. I never really heard anyone break it down the way he broke it down, and so I really enjoyed it. It really resonated in my spirit, and I just had to have him on. So after much negotiations back and forth, you know, Ken agreed to come on and bless us with the truths of the God's kingdom. And, you know, Ken, I just want to personally welcome you to Blog Talk Radio. It's a pleasure to have you on Can We Talk. Thank you for your time, sir. How you doing today, Ken?
I'm doing well. It's wonderful to be here, brother. I'm very excited about being here and being able to share on the most passionate message, the consuming passion that Jesus had for the kingdom.
Amen. All right. All right. So, Ken, what we're going to do is that I'm going to let you speak for maybe, you know, for just a little bit, you know, 20, 30 minutes if you can, and just to go into the various aspects of the kingdom. And after that, we'll go into some questions and answers. Would that be okay?
Sure.
All right.
Did you want me to start, sir?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Ken, please.
Well, good morning, everyone, wherever you are around the world. It's wonderful to be here. I know by listening that this is a global podcast, so there's lots of people from different countries, from different cultures, from all over the world. And when you understand the kingdom, that's the makeup of the kingdom of God. When you look at scriptures, it talks about the kingdom of heaven is like a net that it gathers up of every kind. That shows you the power of the gospel of the kingdom message, that has the power not only to transcend religions, but also has the power to transform your life. And so I was listening to Brother Raz when he was had so many questions. And what I can take from that is religion raises more questions than it has answers, even religious Christianity. And the reason why, because it's all about concepts. If your concept is wrong, your conclusion is going to be wrong. If your conclusion is wrong, then your whole theology is going to be wrong also. And that's what we're seeing in religion. Religion can never satisfy the soul. Religion is a byproduct of the fall. So if religion is a byproduct of the fall, it cannot possibly be the solution. Religion is the number one source of all our problems. So this is why you have to understand what was God's original purpose, what was God's original intention, you know, for mankind. And why is that so important? Because if you don't discern intention, misunderstanding will follow. And why is that important? Because the most misunderstood person on earth is Jesus Christ, especially amongst Christianity. And that's why it talks about there are different Jesuses. There's the Pentecostal Jesus, there's the Baptist Jesus, there's the Mormon Jesus, and the list just simply goes on. What that does is it becomes like religion, where it becomes about them and us. The body of Christ has been divided by its doctrines, and so today we're more known by who we are affiliated to rather than who we submit to. If we submit to Jesus' rule and reign, then we also must submit to the message of the kingdom that Jesus said that he must preach, but and also the message that he gave his apostles to go and preach to build a foundation inside of those who would follow, and also establishing the church that Jesus originally intended to build. But because of all this organized confusion, because that's what religion is, we have to go back to the future, which means we have to go back to what did God originally plan. Well, his original plan in creation was simply to extend his heavenly kingdom on earth, where earth becomes an outpost of heaven. That's why you hear the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. Oftentimes, religion promotes escapism. They want to try and leave earth. They think they can, when they die, they're going to some form of utopia. But God's plan was always to bring heaven to earth, and that we were to occupy it. We were to dominate in life. And we were to also experience the benefits of his kingdom, and the benefits are so important. Why? Because your success is important for God's reputation. Success is the end result of leading with principles that guarantee your success. And we can get we can talk about that later when we talk about the keys to the kingdom. Keys are fundamental truths. Keys are laws. Keys are principles that unlock the door of success. So we can talk about that later as well. But God's purpose was to establish a family of sons and servants. He's the King of Kings. So his purpose was to establish kings on earth that would dominate in all areas of their life. That's what kingdom is. King's domain, that you, a king dominates in that area of influence, whether it be your workplace, whether it be the marketplace, whether it be in your neighborhood, you know, whether you be in your community. And you're going to understand that community is a product of laws. You know, laws produce culture, and that's why laws are so important in understanding the laws of God's kingdom, because they produce culture and principles guarantee your success. And what's happened is we've had different doctrines like grace that try and weaken the God's grace and making it look like that God's grace was only for, you know, to forgive you for your sins. But we don't look on the other side of the coin, where grace is also so that you, the grace to live a righteous life. You see, we need more righteous people. Sadly, we don't have that in our areas now. When we look at the timeline of things, when we look at this globalist agenda, the people that we put our trust in towards are not walking righteously. They're not leading with principles. They lead with whatever's popular at the time for their own self-gain, for their own self-glory, and for their own financial benefits. And that's where greed comes in. Greed is the mismanagement of God's resources for personal benefit. But that's not how the kingdom operates. So it's really important that we understand this kingdom that Jesus came to bring back, which takes us back to the book of Genesis. Understand that the book of Genesis is not the only the book of beginnings, like most preachers will tell you, but it's also the origin of all things. So it's the origin of animals' kingdom. It's the origin of the birds, and it's the origin of this mankind. It's the origin of insects. It's the origin. And so if it's not original, then it's invented. And so when you understand the originality coming from the originator, which is God, the creator himself, he created us for a purpose. He created us with intention to rule from the seen and from the unseen, through the unseen, living in an area. So when you understand this, we're talking about two different kingdoms, a kingdom of us, which is the spiritual realm, and we can go back to that. But what I want to do is stick around the book of Genesis. The Christians that I heard Raz talk and many other people like myself, and certainly as my testimony, I went to Bible college for 3 years. I got a diploma in Christian studies, and you know, I've been teaching here and there. I've been doing street ministry. I've been doing lots of things like you have, over conference, over sermonized. But then I was wondering, why is the church still in a mess? Why is it so still divided? Even though we're praying for unity, for people to come together, it never happened in the 20 years plus that I've been in the body of Christ. And so there were a lot of Christians, just like Raz and just like many people that have come to you know, to the Clubhouse platform. Have come there because the lockdown caused them to come to the social media platform, and where a lot of people have a lot of questions. They feel disillusioned by the churchianity, I like to call it, or the institutionalized church. They have many questions, and that's understandable because religion or religion Christianity or religious churchianity raises more questions than it answers. So who has the answer? What is the answer? Well, when you see what's happening with man-made governments and all its failures, whether it's democracy, whether it's capitalism, socialism, monarchism, communism, it just all those different political platforms, a lot of times where we consume our time more so on that rather than on the government of God or the kingdom of God, we become so zealous, are so passionate about the wrong thing, which is not the priority. But what is the priority is the kingdom of God. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He did not say, seek ye first, if you're in America, the Democratic Party. He did not say, seek first the Republican Party. He did not say, seek first the Liberal and Labor Party here in Australia or any political platform around the world. Why? Because none of those platforms are the kingdom of God. And so when you understand a lot of these kingdoms or these governments, New Testament version translation, governments are only temporal. Religion is only temporal. But the kingdom of God is eternal. The kingdom of God is going to be here forever and ever. His kingdom and his dominion rules and reigns forever and ever. But a lot of times we've been so consumed by the language that comes out of political leaders. And when you identify where we are in the timeline of things, when you identify where we are, there's no surprise that we're going through this pandemic. There's no surprise that we're going through many things that we're going to encounter in life. But this is the time where God is going to put us through the test and where your character is going to be developed. Your leadership is going to start to evolve. Our windows of opportunity are going to evolve where as much as that we cannot be part of the systems of the world. And that's another subject in itself where Jesus said, be in the world and not of it. What it means is you can adapt to the culture, to the systems of this world, but don't adopt it. We can talk about things like, you know, cryptocurrency and all the other stuff. That's another subject altogether. But what I'm talking about, the systems of the world, you see, this is why Jesus said, seek first kingdom of God and his righteousness, so that when you do seek it, what seek means pursue knowledge, seek means to explore, seek means to examine, seek means to study yourself, approve in the area of the most important subjects, which is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Why are those two the most important subjects? Because the kingdom is your horizontal relationship. Your righteousness is your vertical relationships, which is to do with the office of the priesthood. So when you look at kingdom, seek first the kingdom, we can also narrow that down to seek the rulership. When you talk about righteousness, we can talk about relationship. So what God is actually saying is that you can have rule and reign on earth through relationship with the King of Kings. And the end result is that you become a royal priesthood, kingdom, royal, righteousness, priesthood, because life is all about becoming. See, we've been listening to too many formulas in churchianity, 20 steps to this, 5 steps to this, 8 steps to this. And it just adds on to the organized confusion. That's why Jesus narrowed it down and he prioritized and he cut it down all the other distractions. And he's wanted us to be precise so that we can hit the bullseye, so that we can become fruitful, so that we can produce the results. And that's why he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because you have access to all the benefits of the kingdom. I'll say that again. So that you have access to all the benefits of the kingdom. Why did I say that? Because it's not about accumulation. It's not about hoarding. It's all about your inheritance. That's when you understand the kingdom. If the sin is not the issue, it's actually your allegiance. That's the real bigger issue, that you swear allegiance to the kingdom of God. And in your allegiance, you submit to his rule and reign. You submit to the order of the kingdom. You submit to the terms and conditions that are laid out. And you submit to the laws of the kingdom. Hello? Because when you understand kingdom, it means you come into conformity with the laws and the priorities of his kingdom. See, laws produce culture. Now, when we talk about laws, and I know a lot of people will be out there go, well, we don't, Brother Ken, we don't live by law. Well, every country, understand that the kingdom is a home country. It's a spiritual realm. If we are citizens of the kingdom, we have to be a citizens of the country. So the kingdom of heaven is a home country. It's an invisible spiritual realm. We become citizens of that country. Every country has the constitution, and that constitution, we know the heavenly constitution is the Bible. The Bible has laws, just like any constitution of every government has laws which supersede the laws of man-made governments or political platforms. So the laws that we obey are the kingdom laws. But what grace done is that it twisted it to a point, because we don't, what Jesus removed was the religious laws and the ceremonial laws. That's what he removed. But a lot of times he came to fulfill the law. He came to enforce the law. The laws of the commandments are still written on our hearts. We still have to obey the laws. That's what righteousness is. Righteousness is an obedience to the laws of God's kingdom. So this is why context really matters. Context really matters in the kingdom. So when you look at the book of Genesis, that word dominion in Genesis 1:26, it says, God created us in his image and in his likeness. We know that to be nature and character. Character matters in the kingdom. Why? Because character is more important than your gift, because character can protect your gift, but your gift cannot protect your character. Your character will protect your purpose and your vision. So what happens is that God created us in his image and his likeness, in his nature and his character. And then the Holy Spirit, God the Father and Jesus, they canceled one to another and said, you know, we need to create man, and you know how it all goes. And he says, let them have dominion. What a lot of the church has failed to do is dig deep into scripture. They settled for dominion, a right to rule and reign, but they didn't see the message that Jesus was going to come back to preach within that word dominion, which is the Aramaic word. If you do your homework, you know Jesus spoke Aramaic, and that word dominion in Aramaic is the word mamlaka, which means God's sovereignty, but it also means kingdom. So then, how do you know Adam and Eve lost at the fall of man when they disobeyed God? You only have to look at what John the Baptist and Jesus came to announce. Understand that John the Baptist had a preparatory ministry. Preparation is a necessary part of our life. You know, couples prepare for weddings. Parents prepare, you know, for their babies come. Students prepare for tests. So, you know, John the Baptist was preparing the way of the Lord and his kingdom. And so we ourselves have to be prepared for Jesus' return. And this is why it's really important that you understand the message that both John the Baptist and Jesus came to announce. You see, we preach about Jesus, but we don't preach about what Jesus came to preach, that which John the Baptist and Jesus came to announce. They were announcing that which was lost, a lost kingdom. And so when they said, repent, you know, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, we know that to be change the way that you think, right? Change the way that you think. Or you can say, you know, take on another mindset. Change your mind, change your thinking. Or you can say the way you have been conditioned to think. Well, you look what's going on in the world today. we've been conditioned to think a certain way, you know, about COVID and vaccines, because the kingdom of darkness and its influence dominates the media. It dominates all areas of influence, social media, you know, and now the people we're supposed to trust, doctors, scientists, police, judges, are all driven by the love of money. And this is why it says in these times, it says, be not deceived, but look how much not only the world has been deceived, but look how deceived that the church has been. A lot of ministers are now saying, come back to church, you know, get your vaccine so you can come back to church. Why do they think that way? Why do they speak that way? Because they have no understanding of the concept of the kingdom. Because if you truly understand the concept of the kingdom, you see, the kingdom has citizens, religion has members, so they become more dependent on the religious members to finance, you know, finance their church. So all they're worried about is getting their income, getting people back to church. But if the vaccines are as dangerous as they are, and I know people have probably got different point of views, but you really got to look at scripture and what we're talking about in Matthew 24. It talks about the different events that are taking place. It talks about, let's go there, in Matthew 24, it talks about the rumors of wars. It talks about the kingdoms versus kingdoms, governments versus governments, Russia versus Ukraine, or however you want to put it. It talks about the famines. There's a lot of talk about famines at the moment. There's a lot of talk about, you know, these globalists stopping people, farmers, from producing more seeds and produce. There's a lot of talk about, you know, the pestilences that mentioned in Matthew 24, you know, and how people are making money, you know, in the share market with the vaccines and everything else. So we are in a time of great deception, but there's a lot of window of opportunity to see how we can turn this around and revolutionize the world, just like Jesus did, you know, with his 12 disciples. And when you can see that he's telling us, he says, even though a lot of these events are happening, he says that in Matthew 24:6, he says the end is not yet. So despite what popular prophets are saying to become popular, prophesying out of the emotion and not by the spirit, prophesying doom and gloom and prophesying the end is near, well, not in context of scripture, context matter. It says the end is not yet, but it gives you a little bit of an indicator of when the end will come. When you go down to Matthew 24:14, if Jesus said, not my words, not Miles Monroe's words, not anyone that preaches on the kingdom's word. This comes directly, intentionally, specifically from the King of Kings himself. He says, preach this gospel of the kingdom. Now, stop there for a moment. Whenever you see preach this gospel of the kingdom, that means there is another gospel that has been preached, that has become the major doctrines of the church, that have become the pet doctrines of the church. And I'm going to break that down very soon after I deal with this part of Matthew 24:14. But he's saying preach this gospel of the kingdom, not those gospels Apostle Paul warned to preach, other gospels. Where he says, woe to you, which means damned to hell. Where is the fear of the Lord amongst preachers where they're preaching gospels that Jesus said not to preach? And then we can also bring in the book of Hebrews 6, where he says, detach yourself from these certain doctrines and these gospels. So when you look at what Apostle Paul is saying, when you look at Hebrews and what they're saying, there's a lot of gospels that we've got to let go of and detach ourselves from. A lot of the ones in Hebrews are talking about, you know, foundational principles that you can learn through baptism, water baptism, and all that stuff, but they're not the major doctrine to help you fully mature. And it's all about maturity, development, character, and all that stuff. So Jesus said, preach this gospel of the kingdom, and then what will happen? It says the end will come. The end will come is not going to be come when we preach the gospels that we settle for. You see, that's what religion is. When we settle for what we know, And Jesus wants us to know, seek first the kingdom of God. Preach, teach, and demonstrate the kingdom of God on earth. That doesn't divorce Jesus or the gospel of Jesus from the picture, but what it does, it puts it in proper context. Because when you preach the kingdom of God, people say, well, how do I get into this kingdom, Brother Ken, Brother Raz? Well, you come through the door of salvation, which is Jesus Christ. You see how it all fits in. You preach the kingdom of God that introduces them to the king of their kingdom. You see, we preach Jesus, but they don't go beyond the door of salvation. And then we come up with all these falsifying interpretations of once saved, all saved. So you get saved, and that's all that really matters. The Catholic Church, they believe they can do whatever they can, whenever they can, with whoever they can, and they still think they're going to heaven. There's no accountability there. There's no fear of the Lord there. They're not adhering to the judgment of God. So so when you put things in its context and you understand the kingdom and the way that Jesus wants you to know it, that Jesus is the door of salvation. Now let me come to this other part why a lot of people are confused. When we all first came to God, some went through the door of the Baptists, some went through the door of the Pentecostals, some went through the door of all the competing of churches out there. And there was a truth that was delivered to you that was incomplete and there was inaccurate. That's why you had a lot of questions, because they become a product. They became a product of their own doctrines that put a roof over their doctrines, and why we have non-denominational and why we have denominational church, because they took a portion of the Bible. Faith is part of the kingdom, but faith has to be taught and preached. So faith has to be taught in context of the kingdom, not in context of the faith church with their limited understanding, which all they're trying to do is function and operate under a survival mode where people just, you know, they just move the furniture around, but nothing really is truly advancing. And there's a lot of people Christian, no different to the Grace Church. They took the portion of the Bible of grace, and then they want to magnify that, amplify it. But then grace was a part of the kingdom, but then they put it in context of the church called grace. And then we see the list of that. And then what happens is the world looking from the outside in, they're going, I'm confused. There's so many different churches. Which church is Jesus' church? And that's the confusion. And then the leaders of that church, well, don't go down to their Baptist church because they don't believe in this. Don't go to their Pentecostal church because they believe in speaking in tongues. Don't go to this. And you see, we're divided. We're already divided by our own doctrines. So what the kingdom does, it brings everything back. It pulls it all in. And the kingdom gospel or the kingdom encompasses all these things that have become the major doctrines in the church. You see, grace is in the kingdom. Faith is in the kingdom. Salvation is in the kingdom. Redemption is in the kingdom. Reconciliation is in the kingdom. All these little doctrines that they major on are all part of the kingdom. But guess what? The kingdom is not one of those. The kingdom is an all-in-all message. The kingdom encompasses everything, and then it eliminates the confusion of being divided by doctrines. So when you start to preach the kingdom, you start to teach the kingdom, it brings everyone, has the power to bring the church together in unison, because that's what Jesus commanded us to preach. Now, if you understand citizenship more than you understand membership, you will obey the commands of the king because it's law. With the word of a king, there is power. And when the word speak, when a king speaks, it becomes law. You don't question it. You don't have an opinion about it. You don't even have to go to your bishop, to your pastor, to your priest. When Jesus commands something, if you understand citizenship more than you understand membership, then you will submit to those laws. You will also submit to the message and preach and teach on the kingdom of God. You see, God gave us rulership. He gave us rulership on earth. He never gave us ownership. Now you look at what's happening with globalists. They're trying to become their own gods, and they want to own everything at your expense, take everything away from you, depopulate and do all the rest. But guess what? This is the time for the kingdom of light to come in and to really start to shine and be those kingdom citizens, because we, as ambassadors of God's kingdom, of God's government, we carry the full weight of his military power, which is his angels. One angel can wipe out a nation. So just imagine when you come into alignment that you have the right posture, that you come and be in the center of God's perfect will, that even through darkness, you are able to bring in the greatest harvest ever with the message of the kingdom, because it says the kingdom of heaven is like a net. It gathers up every kind. Now, I know there's some people out there that say, well, Apostle Paul, Brother Ken, he preached Christ crucified. Yes, he did. But you also have to put in this context to the audience they were speaking to. Muslims and Jews have a problem with, you know, believing that a man could come down to earth and God and everything else. So, you know, there was a certain audience that, you know, Apostle Paul had to teach. He said when he was in Rome, he was like a Roman. When he was, you know, in a different place, he was just like them. So you've got to understand it in its right context. But when you understand the cross, salvation, born again, and the blood, as important as those they are to teach on those things, they are not what Jesus did not preach on any of those. It doesn't mean that you can't study it and bring it all into the bigger picture. But the cross, salvation, born again, and the blood are all part of the process to establish the end. They're all part of the means towards the end. So what is the end? The end is the goal. What is the goal? The goal is to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. Not to establish political governments, not to establish religion, but to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth, in which you and I are kings of that kingdom. I don't know how much more I can say onto that, Brother Raz. I can continue on because, you know, this is my consuming passion.
Continue. You have plenty of time.
Yeah, so, you know, when you understand God's original intention is to extend his heavenly kingdom on earth that was first ruled by Adam. But what happened when Adam sinned, he didn't lose a religion. He lost dominion over the earth. So Jesus had to send back, God the Father had to send Jesus. He came to restore the kingdom of earth, heaven on earth, that Adam lost. And that's why it's really important. In the times that we're living in, the Bible reminds us, fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He keeps on providing for his citizens the solution. He said, don't worry about, fear not one world government talk. Fear not what's going on politically. Fear not what the globalists are trying to do. Fear not all the spiritual wickedness and the demonic activity, because that's what's influencing these leaders around the world. That's what's influencing these globalists, their little secret party. You know, there's no secret society in the kingdom, but God has many secrets. He has many mysteries that to some is given, to some it's not. And so it's only given to those who are hungry and thirsty after his righteousness, those who diligently want to be God chasers and God seekers, that he will give them the mysteries of the kingdom, but he also will give you the keys to the kingdom, his principles, his fundamental truths. That's why it's really important that we start to be part of the solution of being principal leaders, not what's popular. Your celebrities are popular. Politicians are popular. A lot of people with titles, you know, people in church who want, are all about entitlement. It's all about popularity. But it's not about principles or being a principal leaders. And this is why you can differentiate the difference between a principal leader and a popular leader. A lot of popular leader might have a lot of people following, but it doesn't mean that they're leading with kingdom principles. You can't cheat your way through to becoming successful. You got to do it in a way that honors God, that represents the God's kingdom, where you're displaying the righteousness of God, the integrity, Integrity means that who you are in your private life and who you are in your public life is one the same, one character in Christ. Your character doesn't change. And when we want to mirror this kingdom and we want to mirror Jesus, then we need to follow Jesus on his terms and not our own terms. But one thing I really need to emphasize and highlight and amplify it as much as I possibly can is the importance and the priority for you to learn the kingdom. Learn the kingdom of God. Study the scriptures concerning the kingdom. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, study the gospels and search every scripture concerning the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom. And then cross-reference it with the Old Testament scriptures that are provided there. Because when you look at the Bible, we know that the New Testament is the Old Testament concealed, and the Old Testament is the New Testament revealed. And we just pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in this time that we're working in. Listen, I remind you about Apostle Paul. A lot of people always talk about tongues. And Apostle Paul, he said, I speak in tongues more than anybody else. Do you know that he nearly got three quarters of, some say 45%, some say three quarters, revelation of the New Testament? Because the speaking in tongues was edifying his spirit? That's what we need to be doing now in our time of consecration, in our time of fasting, where we start to live a fasted life. Not make it about an event. You see, we're so focused on events in church. Everyone's saying the biggest revival and revival is coming to this church, a revival is coming to that church. That's not how the kingdom works. The kingdom's about reviving us 24/7. We're so focused on churches about events more than we're focused on being revived 24/7 because the leaders of those churches want you to become more dependent on them and their institutionalized church, when that's not the church that Jesus is building. Jesus is not building buildings. He's building people. And he has to get you out of that building so that you're not conditioned and you're not under the control of the leader. And the book of Revelation talks about that, is that you've got to understand that you have to be led by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that you become a lone ranger. You still got to be accountable to someone that God has put you there, someone that you trust, someone that you know that has sound doctrine. But there's no more sound doctrine than the doctrine of the kingdom. That's why my position, I told people, don't sow into any ministry. Find out what their message is. If they're preaching on the message of the kingdom and it's accurate, sow into them. Because that's where you're going to be more fruitful. Your seed's going to be truly flourished. Your seed is going to be truly fruitful because Jesus commanded that we preach this and the times that we're living in, despite all the events that are taking place, kingdom against kingdom, government against government, rumors of wars, pestilence and famines. So it's really important that we start to understand a lot of things and where we are, especially when we are in the timeline of things. So I'm probably going to end it there, brother, because I could go on, but I kind of think I don't want to be information overload. I kind of think that's enough for your audience to look at it. I started from Genesis, which is where you discover where the kingdom was and where it was lost and where it was rediscovered, where John the Baptist and Jesus came to announce it. And then Jesus went into Galilee in Matthew 4:23 for your listeners. The first time the word gospel is used in the New Testament is in Matthew 4:23, when Jesus is just starting his ministry. And when he's starting his ministry, and it says, Jesus went into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of faith, not the gospel of salvation, not even the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he didn't come to preach about himself. He only did what he saw the Father do. But he says, he came to preach on the gospel of the kingdom. That's the original gospel that God the Father sent Jesus to preach. Okay, where's my proof? Luke 4:43. Jesus says, I must preach. Must means he's under a commandment, even though he's Jesus. He's under divine instruction by God the Father. And he himself said, I must. It's necessary. It's a priority. I must not get distracted by these other competing alternative messages. I must preach the kingdom of God, which encompasses it anyway, everything they're teaching, but it's not in context of the kingdom. He says, I must preach the kingdom of God to every city, to every nation. For this reason and purpose was I sent. Powerful. That's why I said the original gospel that Jesus preached is in the book of Matthew 4:23. After they said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, here's the interesting thing. Jesus goes into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and look what happened. It says, healing all manner of sickness and disease. 100% result of people healed and delivered. Why is that so important? Because this kingdom that John the Baptist and Jesus came to announce, now was the time for demonstration and power. So people were healed, all of them. People were delivered, all of them, as a result of preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And that's why now Jesus is reminding us, hey, we're going into some real challenging times, dark times. Preach this gospel of the kingdom as a witness. That word also means testimony, as a testimony, but also means martyrdom. It says as a martyr or as a testimony to all the world, and then the end will come. You see,
that's good.
When John the Baptist came to announce, repent for the kingdom of heaven, Jesus could have been like a lot of these preachers now. Hey, that's your message, John. I'm going to start another message. No, he stayed on message. He said the same thing as John said. Why? Because John Baptist was the bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He was introducing the new order, a new way of life, a new culture. You know, everything concerning this kingdom, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, where you can experience righteousness, you can experience peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So John the Baptist was introducing it, but here's the difference. John the Baptist is like a lot of preachers today. He had the mental ascent, but he didn't have the revelation, because God wasn't sending John to give deeper revelation concerning the kingdom. He only sent him to make the announcement to prepare the way for Jesus Christ to bring in the revelation of the kingdom. Why? Because he is the king of that kingdom. So they wanted to connect him as the king of this kingdom that he came to preach. Because Jesus is the very nature, and he personifies this kingdom. That's why people say, well, what's this new doctrine? It's not a new doctrine. It's the doctrine that Jesus said. In Mark 1:15, 14, 15, and 27, if you want to listen to the recording and go back, go and check it out, where the religious people questioned Jesus. And they said, what is this new doctrine? What doctrine were they referring to? You backtrack to Matthew 14:15. It says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then the interesting thing, it says, believe the gospel. What gospel? The gospel of the kingdom. You see how when I got the revelation of the kingdom, just like Raz, it started to connect the dots where religion had too many questions. So that my testimony is I started to say it makes sense. So when I started teaching the kingdom, and Miles Munner and others are teaching the kingdom, I listened to it. It just made sense. And the many people that I brought into the kingdom on Clubhouse or here in Australia, my family, they just said, man, this just makes sense. And because there was a time where I was in church, Bible college, and I said, Lord, there's something missing, and I don't know what it is. And I ain't going back into that church stuff anymore. I had no church hurt. No one done nothing wrong to me. I had no reason just to walk out of it. The reason that I was walking around and God knew my heart, he said, I said, Lord, there's something missing. 6 months I had to wait out in the wilderness, not going into church. And then a lot of Christians will say, oh, we haven't seen you in church for a long time, Brother Ken. Everything okay? And I will say, well, actually, I feel more freer being outside your building than being in it. And so, but when I discovered the kingdom of God, my eyes started to tear up. I started to bottle up with tears, because God remembered my prayer. He heard my cry, and he introduced me to this kingdom because the kingdom is the bigger picture. Without the bigger picture, the details thereafter will be inaccurate and incomplete. You have to know what the bigger picture is and not take your eyes off the bigger picture, which is the goal. So whenever you have a goal, motivational speakers will say this to you: seek first the goal, which is your vision. You understand that your vision assignment is your purpose. So when you understand that, is that the goal, the vision, is to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. So you've got to stay focused on that. And that's what Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because religious stuff, religious people, maybe your family, will distract you and keep you so preoccupied in what they're doing to make you believe you're no different than them, even when it comes to the kingdom message. Yeah, I know the kingdom, been there, done that. So if you've been there, why did you leave? So you've got to be very careful. So when you start to study the kingdom, God will start to open up your eyes. I like to use this example when he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek means microscopically search out. Many of you might have a science degree or a doctor's degree, and you know what it's like when you get a leaf or you get a cockroach and you're in school and the teacher tells you to look what's inside it, but you have to put it under the microscope lens. But before you do it, if you look at it with your natural eye, you're not going to see what you can see under the microscope, everything, all the detail inside that leaf, all the chromosomes or whatever the science language that you use inside the detail inside their leaf. You can't see it with the natural eye. It has to go under the microscope. You cannot see the kingdom with your natural eyes. It doesn't come with observation, the word of God says. That's why the Jewish people were looking for a kingdom that they could see physically that would just destroy the enemies. No, love your enemy. That's the culture of God's kingdom. Do good to those who despise you. That's the culture of the kingdom. Forgive your brother no matter how much they spoke against you. That's the kingdom. You see, love people unconditionally. That's the kingdom. You see, you can love someone, but it doesn't mean that you have to like what they do. See, Jesus loved everybody, but he didn't like what some of them were doing. But he still loved them because they're still created in his image and his likeness. So when you come to understand the culture of the kingdom of heaven, it starts to really paint the bigger picture. So there was something else I was going to say, but I just forgot. And maybe I can pick it up later on. Brother Reyes. But that's me for now. That's me for now.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. Thank you, Ken. That's wonderful, Ken. You know, Ken, I think we may have a couple of questions. I have a caller from the 562 area code. Hello, caller. Do you have a question or comment regarding the kingdom for Ken?
How are you?
Good. Yeah, sorry I caught kind of some of the tail end and I missed the beginning, but I'm kind of curious if you touched on the Seventh-day Adventist religion. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I personally don't want to dive too deep in it because one thing I try not to do is personally, I know where you're coming from, but there's a lot of problems there. If I can say that, there's a lot of inaccuracies in their doctrines, in their interpretation of scripture. That's probably can sum it up that way.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes. So that's all I can say. But they're not the only ones. You see, like, you know, we've been so divided by doctrines. I'm not too sure if you caught that part of it. But when we all came to God, we all went through different doors. One went through the Methodist, Seventh Day Adventists, a Jehovah's Witness, Catholic, whatever the case might be. But when they delivered their truth, a lot of it was incomplete and inaccurate because it wasn't in context of the kingdom. And so, you know, and that's what's divided the whole body of Christ, as you know. It separated us. So, you know, the kingdom is like a net. It gathers up everyone. It pulls everybody together, and it puts everything in context of kingdom so that scripture starts to make sense and how God originally intended it to be. You see, if we really choose to submit it to the Holy Spirit and we all were listening to the Holy Spirit attentively, we wouldn't come up with sort of different interpretations of Scripture, you know. But unfortunately, you know, man gets hold of something, they take a portion of it, and then they get many followers. Just because people have got a huge following doesn't mean that they're right as far as the Word of God is concerned. Does that help?
Yeah, you know, I totally agree with what you're saying. And I kind of got a sample of a lot of different religions because as a young child, my mother was trying to find the right way. So I was in Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, Pentecostal.
Right.
And now I'm non-denominational
right.
Christian.
Right.
But then you wonder, you know, about the Bibles, like you're saying, all these different interpretations. How do you feel about that? Do you feel like the NIV, should it be the Holy Bible? Can it be New Translation? Is that important?
Not really, because, you know, I'm a person who likes to use all different different Bibles and get confirmation and clarity. If two or three Bibles are probably saying the same thing, that's probably, mm-hmm. and it resonates with me and in my spirit, and it makes sense, then I'll include that part of aspect of it, you know, in the teaching when there's confirmation and clarity. I like to, even the Message Bible, you know, and the Amplified Bible, but you have to look at the interpretation and look at it in its right context, because context mm-hmm. matters. And when we're talking about context, we're talking about context of the bigger picture, which is the kingdom of God. I think once people study the kingdom of God, the scriptures that they were trying to interpret will start to make a bigger sense, because now God is opening your eyes to the bigger picture, which is the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
which has not been taught or even preached about in churches, yet throughout scripture, Jesus preached and taught about the kingdom. So a lot of times people think because they go to church, they think it's they're experiencing kingdom. Well, mm-hmm. not really, you know. So
right.
that's why, like, if you were a bank teller in the bank, right, you were mm-hmm. studying the $100 note. You'll study the $100 note, and you'll study every detail of it. So when a fake comes along, you'll know that mm-hmm. it's fake, not because you studied the fake, but you studied the original $100 note. Such as the same
wow.
with the kingdom, is that when you study the kingdom of God, you'll know when the fake arrives of a count of the kingdom, and that's what the kingdom of darkness is. It's a count of it. He's just an unemployed cherub, the devil. So he comes to try and twist truth. He comes to deceive. He comes. He's the devil is a liar, and he'll use
yeah.
even different churches. They'll use different churches, and that's why I'm saying, as from a testimony perspective, based on what mm-hmm. myself and many, many others like Raz and others, we had. Now, this is what I'm going to say. One of the hardest learning is the unlearning of things that we settled for, things that we heard
wow.
from different churches. That's the hardest learning, not the learning itself. And that's mm-hmm. why Jesus says that we have to have a teachable spirit. A lot of times, a lot of followers idolize the people that they follow, and they'll just say amen to anything they say, but we're supposed to line everything up with the Word of God. We're supposed to study ourselves approved to make sure
yeah.
as watchmen, that not only we watch for Jesus coming, but we also watch over the Word, just like the Bereans. The Bereans were well studied in Scripture. You know, so
mm-hmm.
that's how we need to be. That's how we need to be. But thank you for your question. God bless you.
Yeah, thank you. God bless you as well. And that was powerful.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, we have another caller here from the 414 area code caller. Do you have a question or comment for Ken? Call from the 414 area code.
Hello.
Okay, I guess you just want to listen. That's no problem. So, Ken, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So, Ken, you made some really powerful points. And listen, there's a lot of people right now that are in the wilderness. They're experiencing emotional, spiritual, mental trauma. They're in the wilderness right now.
Right.
So for those people listening right now, Ken, how would they start to unlearn what they've learned in the churches, in the religious system, which I believe is not on purpose. It's not an accident. It's on purpose. It's been weaponized against the kingdom to try to put a halt to the message of the kingdom. So this is all by design, I believe. And so what's the starting point for people in that situation?
Point is to go back, and this is where the whole church needs to go back to. It has to go back to God's original dominion mandate and understanding dominion. And those for you who are listening, a lot of times, that's what I was going to say earlier, Jesus went into Galilee preaching on the gospel of the kingdom and says healing all manner of sickness and disease. The interesting thing is when he preached the kingdom, the people were healed and the people were delivered. Jesus didn't preach on healing to heal people. He didn't preach on deliverance to deliver people. And we see religion has added these extra ministries to the body of Christ. And I'm a healing minister. I'm a deliverance minister. No, we were all called to cast out demons. It wasn't specifically for a certain ministry. We were all called to heal. But you see what we've done? Again, we've taken a portion of the Bible. So why I'm saying let's go back to the dominion mandate, where God gave us dominion. What is really healing? Healing is when you take dominion over sickness. What is deliverance?
That's good.
Deliverance
that's good.
Is when you deliverance. What is deliverance? Deliverance is when you take dominion over spiritual wickedness and activity, demonic activity. What is prosperity? Prosperity is when you take dominion over poverty. Poverty really is just a lack of productivity. Poverty really is just a lack of productivity. That's what the word says, that we have to be fruitful. We have to produce. Fruit is a produce. So we have to be producers of other leaders. We have to transform followers into leaders. We also have to produce financially, because our success is good for God's reputation. So this is why the church has lost its true identity, purpose, and destiny. Because some people focus too much on the Old Testament that they become Jewish New Testament preachers. That's not how God originally intended. You know, so you've got to look at things in its proper context. So going back to your question, go back to God's original dominion. He gave us dominion over we were to manage earthly affairs on behalf of the kingdom. You see, religion came in and they separated church and state. But we belong to a kingdom that's the government, and we're supposed to manage earthly affairs on behalf of the kingdom. We're supposed to rule and reign. We're supposed to be kings in our domain, in our areas of influence. He's given us authority. And when we talk about people being personally attacked demonically by demons, what we don't understand the power and the dominion that we have. We don't understand the authority. You see, the demons have the power, but we have the authority. They don't have the authority. So we're always winning. The problem is we're not testing out our faith. We're not believing the word of God, and we're not operating and exercising our faith and exercising our dominion, because sometimes we don't know who we are because we've been confused by some of the places that we go into that have been teaching us the word of God that's been inaccurate and incomplete as far as truth is concerned. You got to go back to the basics, as we say in sports. Go back to the basics. Go back to dominion. And then go into the New Testament and look for those kingdom scriptures, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and also the gospel of the kingdom. Study the four gospels, Matthew, Luke, John, and see what Jesus came to preach and his life. We preach about his life, but we don't preach what he preached. About the kingdom of God. So go back to, I always say, go back to the future, which is it's back into your past, which is in the book of Genesis. And there you'll discover what God originally intended from the beginning. Because if you don't get that right, you're going to have a lot of misunderstanding. And it's like a road where you don't know where you're going. Choose any road and it will take you there.
Wow, that's delicious, Ken. Very delicious. So, Ken, you just talked about the difference between demons having power, but we're having the authority. Real quick.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, scriptures talk that, you know, he's given us the authority, and authority is that comes from that word exousia, and that exousia means that God has given us the authority. He gave us back. He went down to hell to give us back the keys, to give us the power and the authority over the kingdom of darkness that took over the world because of the fall of man, because what Adam and Eve's disobedience. So God had to go, Jesus had to go to hell and get back the keys for us so that we can start to rule and reign and give us back our authority to dominate, to cast out demons, to, you know, and even to a point that we fast for some demons to be delivered. But they, we have the authority. That's the thing. They have the power, but we have the authority. They don't have authority over us. We do. Light into darkness. A lot of times we just not putting the angels to use. We've got 2/3 of the angels. And when you look at the state of the world, it's reflective of the state of the church. America, where it is reflective of the state of the church. Just because you've got thousands and thousands of churches on every corner doesn't mean that you've been doing a good job. Otherwise, America and all the other countries around the world will not be in the mess that it is. It's because the church has been religious. Not all, but many. So he's saying that design of church is not working. Now it's time to build my church. Now it's time to have that remnant group that he's talking about in these times. And you want to be part of that picture. But then you also have to have the message of the kingdom to be really effective to usher in his return.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, Ken, both you and I have come from the faith, word of faith background, right? And you hear about, you know, not having enough faith, how to use your faith properly. If it doesn't manifest, then you're not using your faith, so on and so forth. Now, I know a lot of people are going to be asked how, for example, many of the concepts of the kingdom, how do I rightfully, appropriately use faith in the context of the kingdom? How do I position grace in the context of the kingdom, and so on and so forth. So let's start with faith, if you don't mind, real quick. For example,
well, you can actually
include two because
you can actually include both of them. It really just comes down to your obedience to Christ's command. That's where grace comes upon your life. Grace is unlocked because of your obedience to Christ's command. Everything's about obedience. Remember, obedience before sacrifice. And, you know, grace is grace. And when you start to, you know, when you start to look at, you know, things like righteousness really is just when you start to obey the laws of God's kingdom. That's really what it is. You know, so when we talk about faith, your faith is only as strong as the test that it survives. We're going through a certain test at the moment. Faith produces trust. Not only do we have the faith to go through whatever we're encountering in life, but that faith produces trust in the Creator, our trust in the Source, our trust in God the Father through Jesus Christ. Trust the Lord with all our heart, our mind, and our soul. Let's not lean to our own understanding to what's going on in the world, but acknowledge Him always, and then He will direct your path and where you should go during these challenging times. So you've got to believe. You not only got to believe in God, but you've got to believe what His Word says. You know, that's really, you've got to have the faith to believe in everything that God says, and not be so distracted by what's going on around the world and all the events that are taking place.
Right. So, for example, Ken, I know. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, and it comes down to commitment. our those who are committed to righteousness will reach full maturity. And, you know, when you look at life, it's all about maturity. It's all about character development. So when you start to enjoy the favor of the King, you don't have to work for what he gives you. It just comes naturally because you've got access to all the benefits.
Amen. Now, Ken,
that comes about staying right with God.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Ken, quick question for you. So I want to talk about faith really quick as far as using your faith for, you know, healing. You know, you see a lot of pastors that have healing ministries and the people don't get healed. I'm not going to mention any names on this platform, but you see them on Christians' channels where they heal people and, you know, and they end up suing the pastor because he actually made it worse versus making it better. But, you know, we're not seeing, in my opinion, we're not seeing, you know, Christ said that greater works will you do, but we're not really seeing that like he said. So is it because we're not correctly applying faith through the context of the kingdom? For example, if you have a person who is sick, has been sick for 15 years, they believe in God for their healing, but it hasn't fully manifested in their physical body. How do you get your head around that? Because that's a very difficult situation for a person who's actually going through the symptoms in their body and are trying to have faith, though, are really praying, really trusting God, but they haven't seen the reality of healing.
Yeah, it's you know, I think as far as the preacher's concerned, God's got to trust you with the power that he gives you. There's a lot of distrust, you know, in the body of Christ as far as leaders who have abused the power that God wants to give them. And that's why God gave you character before he gave us dominion, before he gave us power, is that your character, once you got good character, he trusts you with the power to heal and the power to deliver. And so from that perspective, as far as the other person is concerned, and I see it a lot in the body of Christ, brother, and every situation and every circumstance is different. But a lot of times I find Christians too lazy. They want to go to the pastor to get prayed for and to get healed for, but they don't want to go and study the word and study the scriptures and exercise those that, you know, declare and decree the word of God in their life. So they don't have to go to a prophet to get a word of God. They don't have to go to a so-called healer or deliverer to his. So, you know, every situation is different. But that's why it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That scripture is so fully loaded. When you start to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, it says all things shall be added. That means prosperity. That means healing. That means deliverance. And so what Jesus is trying to do is say, right focus produces right results. If you want results as far as healing is concerned or deliverance is concerned, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You want to prosper? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not 20 steps to this, not 30 steps to this. And everyone, he made it very simple. Seek first the kingdom of God so that you have rule and reign over every situation and circumstance, or every demonic attack through relationship with the King of Kings. See, a lot of times, a lot of people just try and do it the easier way, and they want to take the shortcuts. Not everybody, but I think a lot of people that we're referring to.
Right, right. And I think, Ken, we have to remember that we are, since we were in this world and not of this world, meaning that we are citizens of another kingdom called the Kingdom of God, we're also ambassadors.
Amen.
For example, if an ambassador...
Yes.
The ambassador of the United States goes to an African country, which is a third world country, even though that country may be poor and everything around him is in complete shadows, but the embassy in which he stays is plugged and tied into the
yes.
motherland, which is going to be the United States, which will have plenty of resources at their disposal to give. And so if he says, I need more money, I need food, I need this, I need that. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because I believe the world is coming into – we're in the last of the last days. And the times that Christ spoke about is appearing before our very eyes. And this, you know, churchianity, you know, playing religion nonsense is not going to cut it.
You have to understand the reality of the kingdom of God to be able to utilize it and know your rights as a kingdom citizen so that you don't get bullied, you don't get taken by surprise, you don't get taken advantage of by the world system.
Yeah, we see God can do anything, but he has given us the license that he can release on earth whatever he wants to allow. You see, prayer gives us, God gives God permission to act on our behalf. So whatever he allows, you know, and to some, you know, and that's why when you understand the kingdom of God, there's no recession in God's kingdom. There might be recession in man-made governments, but there's no recession in the kingdom of God. See, the prodigal son learned a lesson. He was given the, as Dr. Miles Monroe once said, he was given the check, but then he had access to the checkbook. He spent that check, but then he had access to the checkbook. And a lot of times we need to understand as children of the Most High God and our inheritances that we have access to all the benefits. His checkbook is unlimited. The zeros are not six figures, eight figures. It's just figures that go on forever and ever because there's no recession in the kingdom. But we fail to understand that because we're still looking from a carnal-minded perspective. That's why a lot of times when you hear a lot of preachers and teachers in Africa and India and other third world countries, they struggle with that because they still got a poverty mindset. They don't understand that the same kingdom that we belong to is the same kingdom they belong to, and God is able to deliver to them what he can deliver in America and Australia and everywhere else. It's all down to mindset. It's renewing your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing your mind. A lot of mindsets are not really truly renewed. That's why they kind of try and pour new wines, get into an old wineskin because they haven't come into this kingdom like a child. They've become so indoctrinated that they don't want to let go of all their doctrines and become like a child, being birthed into the world. Where you're running around, you're touching everything because everything's become new. All things have passed away. All things have become new because they've just come out. They've been birthed. They've never seen a table before. They've never seen a chair, so they're running everywhere. And we've got to have that same thing when we come as far as the kingdom is concerned so that we can fully understand it. Because if there's still a little bit of religion in us, when people start to hear this message of the kingdom, they will try and fit the kingdom teaching into their religious understanding. Rather than the religious teaching comes under the kingdom, and the kingdom will, you know, make sense and disqualify some of the things that they've been told, because the kingdom puts everything into its proper context.
Amen. That's powerful, Ken. Ken, we had a caller that wants to see. They have a prayer request. They want to know if that you could pray for them before you get up the call.
Yeah, sure.
Hello, call. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, so Ken's on the line. Go ahead.
Okay, Ken. So the situation is I'm having a house built, and now it's time to do the financing. And, you know, from my understanding is a lot of times you might get caught up in a trap where if they put certain things on the paper or if they know your race or whatever, then they don't appraise the property as high as it could be, because I've known that happen in other situations. So for some reason, mine came $35,000. So it's a brand new home. The community is brand new. So they're supposed to be using the comp in the area, right? And so,
right.
So the alternative is either I come up with $35,000 more, or they supposedly asking the builder to lower the price or have the appraiser change the appraisal. So the thing you guys are talking about in faith, I believe in prayer and I have a lot of faith. And so I just believe that if we all agree that it's going to come out in my favor, well, I don't have to come out with no extra money, and they're doing the right thing.
Right. So are you looking at getting it revalued or something so that you get the expected price that you want, which is an extra, what's the price? Can I ask what the price is now and what you're looking for?
Yeah, well, the price
for?
is, the price is $589, but what they did, right, they actually took the upgrade, because I had like $62,000 worth of upgrade, a little bit more, and then somebody else, I mean, the house, it was just a lot. But for some reason, another female was trying to get it, and I guess she couldn't get it, but she went ahead and selected some of the upgrades that she wanted, and that was $34,000. So they put that on top of the house, and I told them I didn't right. want that to happen. I wanted to pay out right for the upgrade, my upgrades, and for some reason, they just ignoring it, and they giving me the runaround. You got to go pay the design center. Oh, no, you got to go pay Richmond, and I'm getting the back and forth. So now they added the whole total to the house, which made it $589, and which now they only assess the house at $555, which left like a $34,000, $35,000 difference that they want me to come out of my pocket for.
Right. So and what price are you looking for?
I'm looking for lower than $555.
Right.
But that's the appraisal. So if 555 is it, then that's okay. But if they can go down, I want that, because what my realtor is asking for is for them to meet me halfway. I pay $17,000 of it. They pay $17,000 of it, which will make the house price lower, because right now, like I say, the house is $589, and so I'm thinking I'm
right.
okay with that. But if they just lower the price of the house totally, where the appraisal is good, then that's even better. And I don't have to come out with $17,000
plus. So anything plus. Above 555, right? Anything above
55, yeah,
555 as a settlement.
That's
okay, we can do that.
Okay.
What's your name? What's your name again?
Oh, Duana.
Queen?
Duana.
Duana,
D-E-W-A Gibson, G-I-P-S-O-N.
Duana Gibson. Duana Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll pray. Father, Lord, we just thank you for Duana Gibson. Father, Lord, we just thank you, Father. Your word says, let your request be known unto you, Father, Lord. And we, Father, Lord, we just pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Father,
yes.
Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, Lord, in this situation, in this circumstance, Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are a king, and you have a kingdom that is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, but also loves to bless your people. And Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your blessing at this time. Mm-hmm. Lord, as we seek together, where there is unity, Lord, you command the blessing. And Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, even as we rightly position with you, that Duana is placed under your protection. Even those who are trying to do deceitful work, Father, Lord, against her, things that, Lord, that don't come from the nature and character of who you are, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Father, for your grace. We thank you, Father, for your grace, Father, that when you start to walk in righteousness is the key to your prosperity. And Father, Lord, we thank you, Father, that, Lord, we believe that, Lord, for this price of $550,000, we thank you for your grace. But not only for that, but anything above that price, Father, Lord, we give you glory and we give you praise. Father, you are the God of more than enough. And Father, Lord, we just thank you, Father. We believe that, Lord, that this child of God will receive way above her asking price. And Lord, we just plead the blood of Jesus, Father, over every word that we are saying here. We thank you, Father, for your grace and favor. Lord, you've also given us power and authority to tread over even serpents and scorpions, and no weapon formed against her, O God, shall prosper. Father, we seek the favor of you, Lord, Almighty God. Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father, Lord, that we can come together in unison. We can thank you, Father, Lord, that those, Father, that are committed to do your work, to advance your kingdom, Father, Lord, we just declare and decree your benefits, the benefits of your kingdom, as you seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this time. We come together. Father, Lord, we agree that, Lord, that the price that, Lord, that you have planned for her is well above her asking price. And, Father, we agree in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
So I'm buying the house. I'm buying it.
Oh, you're buying the house?
Yeah, I had it built. It's being built right now. And now it's time to, you know, do the financials. And it's time to get the deal closed. And the appraiser that went in appraised it lower than what the house, what they trying to charge me for the house because of the upgrade.
You want it lower than 555?
Yes. I want the price of the house to be lowered. Or...
Okay, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you right now, Father, Lord, with the price that, Lord, that we are asking for is anything lower, much lower than 555. We just thank you, Father, for the grace that's upon Queen Dwan Gibson's life. Father, Lord, we just plead the blood of Jesus. Father, you are a God of justice. Father, Lord, you are a righteous God. Father, Lord, and we know, Father, we ask for your favor. We believe by the word of God that, Lord, this favor that is coming to Queen Dwan, Father, to your daughter, Father. Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we plead the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that when the negotiation happens, it's a price that you all negotiated in the heavenlies, Father. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Not their will, not my will, not anybody's will, but your will. That, Lord, that you will be glorified in this time and in this moment, Father. We thank you, Father. We declare in the heavens, Father, Lord, that she will get more than what she's asking for, Father, Lord, and she will not pay above, Father, what they would want and what they would ask for. Father, Lord, we thank you for your grace. And, Lord, we just pray that you give the family and herself the peace that passes all understanding, Father. Lord, and we come into agreement, not only by me, not only by Rez, and not only by Duran, but also those who are listening, and I'm praying for God's favor. We combine together in unity, Lord, and, Father, we believe that you will command a blessing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. And I agree. Thank you for that.
Awesome.
I'll continue to pray for you as well when we get off the phone, Queen. But
okay.
Yeah, I'll certainly do that for you. All right. And I'd like to hear how you get on.
Huh?
I'd love to hear the report. We believe together that it's already been done. It's already been done, right?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Okay.
Can we have under 2 minutes, but before we conclude this podcast, Ken, I have a friend, she's probably listening, she's in another country, and she's been struggling with chronic fatigue syndrome, 10 years,
ooh,
and she's a believer, right. It's a demonic attack for sure, I guess she told me that a witch had tried to put a curse in her, and, you know. And so I would like to just pray for her because, you know, she's believing God for a healing.
What's her name?
And really, her name is Merlin.
Who?
Merlin, M-U-R-L-Y-N.
Merlin, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for for Merlin. Father, Lord, as I said with the previous queen, let your request be known unto you. Lord, you have given us power. You have given us authority to tread on every serpent and every scorpion. And, Father, whatever the diagnosis is, Lord, we cancel the assignment, Father, of the enemy. Any fatigue, we cancel you, and we command you to come out in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And we send you to the abyss. We send you to hell where you belong. We cancel your assignment right now in the name of Jesus. Father, you have given us the power, you've given us the authority, you have given us the dominion to rule and reign in life. And I thank you, Father, we take the dominion, authority right now in the name of Jesus, and we command fatigue to go in the name of Jesus.
Lord.
We take chronic fatigue. You have no right, you have no right, you have no authority. And then we command you to come out right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Father. Your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. We thank you, Father. And you deliver them from their destructions.
Yes, Lord.
You deliver them from their destructions and you heal them. We declare Psalms 107:20 over her life right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. And, Father, we want to do things that are pleasing to your Son. It is your desire, it is your will to heal and to deliver people. You went into Galilee. You preached the gospel of the kingdom. And then there was demonstration. Father, Lord, we ask for your demonstration right now in the name of Jesus, your healing power, your deliverance power over Merlin right now. Even to your deliverance power over the previous caller with her house, Father, Lord. We declare and decree the power and authority. Your kingdom's not a word, but it's in power. It's in demonstration to heal, to deliver, but also to transform lives. We thank you, Father, that her life is transformed even to this day, that her mind is reset and renewed and reprogrammed as she embraces this concept of the kingdom. Father, let your kingdom come, let your will be done, and let your kingdom come, let your will be done in her life. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Woo! Wow. Ken, this has been powerful, sir. King Ken, this has been very powerful. Thank you so much for blessing us with your wisdom and with the, you know, the teaching of the kingdom. And hopefully, you know, there will be a part two. and we'd love
there'll
to have you back on,
brother,
King King.
I'll be
and,
more than happy to. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad you enjoyed it, sir. Thank you so much, Ken, and I'll be seeing you hopefully in a couple of hours on some of the show rooms in the Clubhouse.
All right. God bless you, everyone. Thank you, brother. We'll see you soon.
Thank you,
Ken. Appreciate it.
God bless. Thank you.
Bye now.